Hey, Pants People. Just wanted to take a brief moment before the episode to say thanks for listening and thanks for being our friends. Enjoy.
It's always different. And our focus today will be on the half-orc Sistine, also known as the Verdant Viper. Now, Sistine's story started off in tragedy. Her birth mother, having a grudge against Sistine's orcish heritage, removed her tusks and gave her up at the age of 2. Luckily, she was swiftly taken in by a band of performers and raised among them. This early life led to the realization of her life's dream, to master the art of blade dancing and bring it into the conquered world's spotlight. And so she pursued this goal, becoming a luminary adventurer and journeying across our worlds. She had custom scimitars made, and the elegance with which she came to wield them became legendary. She also met up with young Daryl Twilight and became fast friends. Now, on top of becoming one of our world's most elegant performers, Sistine became the protector of her own family of luminaries. So you best not mess with Dasa Seda Dase, ne'er-do-wells, or you might end up feeling the Verdant Viper's bite.
Thank you, Jasmine Young. Once again, Mountain Mania, we're getting these applications. I got one more to go. It's so cool. It's so cool.
I want custom scimitars.
No. Oh, I have to mention also, because it's on the application, I didn't want to do Oren saying this, but Sistine Thick. Sistine Thick.
Damn.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know how to put
that
in the spotlight.
You couldn't have worked that in to
Oren. Come on, man. I wanted to, but come like, on. How do I?
Try it.
He's a respected man of the network.
Try it out.
Store to the Oren here with part 2 of Thick.
Three C's?
Store to the Oren here with Thick.
That was like 4 I's, not 3 C's.
I think it was Thick.
Oh, yeah. Cracking that beer over there.
Happiness.
I love it. Jim, what are you drinking over there?
Rum.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Way to go.
Oh, yeah.
It's Tuesday.
No. It's Tuesday. God damn. No, I'm drinking a lovely Crouson. Is that how it's pronounced? I don't know. Single barrel premium extra aged rum.
Lander,
shout out to Sarah and Meglin. They took a trip down to St. Croix, which is, I believe, a U.S. Virgin Island. And they brought this back up.
Very, very generous.
So thank you for this lovely gift. Both delicious.
Phenomenal.
Both friends and listeners of the show. So,
yes.
Hey. Thank you so much.
And fellow coworkers who are
coworkers,
just simply amazing.
Yeah. I had some of that earlier.
Amazing friends.
Jeremy was generous enough to share it. And quite lovely. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see Meglin and Sarah smiling faces, visit our sponsor, Reckless Brewing Co.
Hey, there you go.
I can do it.
You did it. You did it.
I'm hot.
Congratulations, David.
Yeah.
Little taste of the islands.
Yeah. Speaking of taste.
Yeah.
We've got mail.
Oh, I wasn't ready.
Get ready.
Mail time!
Yes!
Speaking of taste.
Taste that. Taste that, ponytail.
That was the best transition yet.
Right, yeah.
We have mail. I have mail. And it's actually something that I ordered. And I'm very excited about this. So I'm going to open this right now.
All right, well, asterisk on mail time. I don't know if mail time counts if we
order. It counts because I ordered it from our good buddy, friend of the show, ever stalwart Andrew Hooley Forge.
Ooh. All right. Ooh. I'll give you a pass.
You see, you guys are over there.
What did you do?
We have our button bottles, all of us. You guys have your potion and spider venom you still have not touched. Your superior healing, your phase spider venom, still hanging out there, ready to be rolled when the time comes. And the time may come soon, gentlemen, because I decided I wanted a little something of my own.
Oh,
that looks evil.
Oh, do you see the dark aura coming off of it?
It's lovely, isn't it?
Now,
yes,
see,
it's heavy.
This little scroll here is actually a homebrewed little effect that you can get from Andrew's shop. He has some absolutely fantastic little selection of very cool things you can't find anywhere else. And they'll send you the scroll, the bottle, the dice in the bottle. So when the time comes to pop this thing off, read the scroll to your poor, unfortunate players and roll the dice right out of the jar. Oh, man. Oh, yes. Man. And you guys don't know what this is. You're not going to know what this is.
Yeah.
Because when I unfold this scroll and read it to you, it's going to be too late.
Andrew has
idiots.
Shared. Uncalled for. Andrew has shared a lot of his homebrew creations in Discord. And I know that some of them can be quite unfair if used against us.
It's the best kind of creation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put this right here on the table. You can just read it and weep.
Or not read it.
Or not read it and weep later. Yes.
If it's anything like buttons, he's going to forget that it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yes. Honestly, that's not. No, it's in my notes. I've got on page 32 of my ARC notes. I'll find it somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Somehow I'll see it.
Oh, shit. We taught him how to use.
You taught me how to use Google
Docs. Oh, so now
I'm more powerful than ever before. It's like a bag of holding for your notes. It's incredible.
He's arrived in the modern age.
Right.
Here I am.
And it almost never miraculously disappears 3 or 4 times.
No.
Oh, man. Guys, before we get into this episode, I want to talk about the last episode. The last 3 episodes, actually, because that was my favorite fight in the show. I'm putting it out there right now. That was my favorite combat in this show so far.
Wild.
We got some great combats, but fuck. 2 different combats at the same time. A situation fully set up that you should not have been able to turn around. It was bad.
It was really bad. Going into it, it felt really helpless.
You guys played so cleverly. I mean, the illusion was fantastic. The use of status effects like blind and using a vicious mockery to give me disadvantage. Like, you guys played that shit optimally because I put you in a situation that you needed to be sharp to get through. And you were.
And we almost never are.
And for that, begrudgingly, you're each getting a button.
Yay.
I don't normally do this for fights, but I think you deserve them.
For a 3-episode fight, I'll take it. Fight. And I won't feel bad about it.
It's another part of this fight that I love so much is it really hammers home one of the coolest aspects of these games that we build together, which is like, think of the end of that fight. We are all sitting here cheering on the NPC character, the sidekick character of Jean Franklin, who's like, he's no one's character. He's no one's PC. He's just this character that exists somewhere between all 3 of us. But we've come to like love this character in this special way where it's like, get it, do it. You know, we want to see him succeed. And that's, I don't know, something about that just feels like such true, raw Dungeons and Dragons to me.
It's so funny. Like, I'll be talking to somebody who like just started listening and they don't have a lot of nice things to say about John Franklin. Mm. And I don't want to like give too much away, you know, but I inside I feel like a little defensive because I'm like, hey, that's John Franklin you're talking
that's
about.
My friend.
You don't even know him. You don't even know him like I do.
And like, it's really, I think we talked about this before to you guys. I don't think we've brought it up in the show, but there's a really cool phenomenon that happened here in Fantasy Pants, which is normally in a show, you know, an actual TV show, if a character actor has to leave or a character dies, a lot of times they'll kind of bring in the replacement character, someone you can look at and say, well, that's the new character, that's that person, right? Mm-hmm. And you could think, especially in role-playing games, that that would happen here. With Zebulon's passing, we would think Blanche is the new Zebulon, but Blanche simply isn't. Blanche is this entirely different, like, such a different character with such a different broad range of perspectives that like makes everything so interesting and fresh in a whole new way. But when you look at our show, I feel like the spiritual successor to the character of Zebulon is Jean Franklin.
Sure. Yeah.
He's the heart.
Absolutely.
He's the goof. He's the one that's kind of like, you know, you're rooting for the underdog. Like it's very interesting. It's really weird because he's not a PC, but he feels like he filled some void in the show.
He filled that Zebulon sort of void. Yeah.
It's so strange.
It's almost like a little bit of Zeb gets to live on through Jean. Yeah, because I specifically didn't want Blanche to be like a copy paste Zebulon.
Right.
So
yeah,
Jean picked up that goofy streak.
It's really something. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Right down to being Jules' luminary partner, you know? It's just, and like the character that sort of brings these 2 other characters together, you know? We don't see Jules and Blanche at this point in the show. They're comrades in arms, but they're not friends from what I've seen.
Yeah, we still barely know each other.
Yeah, right, they're not, exactly. Yeah. They're not personalities that go around partying, but like they have this glue between them, which is the character of Jean Franklin.
Jean is exactly. Yeah, Jean's the glue.
It's so weird for an NPC to be that role. And normally it's like, as a DM, that's your worst nightmares for, you know, an NPC to be important. You don't want that ever. But in this case, I think it works because it's all of our choice.
I think I even remember at one point saying to you, I think it was on air, like, you're going to have to come up with a reason for Blanche to like go along with this. Like, why else is she blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But this is starting to sound like Unzipped.
And trust me, there's there's some gnarly stuff heading Blanche's way soon. But on the note of Blanche, I want to open up with Blanche. And more importantly, I want to open up with the sound of rain.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? The skies above Umizu are weeping. Rain falling steadily into this misty landscape all around. You stand upon a hill, looking down over it, much of your vision lost within the mist. But the rain does not touch your head, for you stand beneath the curving roof of a small shrine, Blanche. Behind you, you can see the statued form of a turtle with a long neck and almost fish-like sort of piscine face and mouth. There's an ornate box sort of resting beneath this form, holding two sort of gourd bottles filled with a fine sake. And of course, beside you and standing tall is your mentor.
Well, we've left our offerings. Perhaps the spirits will allow us a brief respite from the elements. What do you say, Blanche?
Ozan looks to you. He's dressed down into sort of a simple kind of robe. His armor left behind. There will be no combat today. Today is a day of peace.
The rain never bothered me, but I am happy to linger here a while.
Hmm. Good. Yes. Yes.
Sort of staring off, his one eye looking out into the mist, catching glimpses of something that you cannot see.
You know, I've heard they call Umizu the Raining World at the Citadel. A tragically apt title, don't you think? I swear, every summer monsoon is gloomier than the last. But there is beauty in the rain as well. Each drop carries its own story, perpetuating an infinite cycle between earth and sea and sky. And the sound, it does bring back memories. Tell me, Blanche.
Looks down to you. He's pretty tall. I think he's still... How tall is Blanche?
I don't remember exactly.
Are you quite tall for a turtle?
No, I don't. I don't think she's an overly tall turtle. So we're gonna guess that she's somewhere lower 5 feet range.
Hell yeah! At this point in time, I should mention he's elderly, not old. You're still in your training years. This is probably happening just before the last conversation we had between Blanche and Ozan in a flashback, which was some time ago. But he looks to you and asks,
Blanche, have you heard the story of how I became a luminary?
I don't believe I have. Now that you mention it, I'm quite interested. I can't believe I never asked.
It's a strange story. It doesn't usually make its rounds amongst the worlds. It's not as flashy as some would like, but it's important, and it carries lessons. It was during the monsoon season, when folks speak of bad luck and summer misfortunes. In this case, they had reason to fear. For on one stormy evening, a notable death struck our fair city. The daimyo's son was found murdered on the Bright Moon Pier, the territory of a known criminal syndicate, the Safe Ocean Society. Furthermore, there was clear evidence of the Tritons at the scene, pointing the finger at the native Rurapo clan. Umizu was braced for a full civil war. At this time, I was merely a simple guard at the Shrine of Storms, but well known for my prowess with magic and blade, and more importantly for my sharpness of mind. Kind of points at his temple, gives you a one-eyed wink.
Blanche chuckles.
When I was approached with all the details of the crime, it became clear that every possibility was senseless. The details painted a complex picture that was simply impossible. And so, I agreed to look into the matter, and I felt confident that I could solve it. Do you know why?
I see where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not doing anything.
Tell me, Master.
Because it was impossible. A crime with too many possibilities is a troublesome thing. You have to cut them down one by one through tireless investigation until only one remains. But an impossible crime is an incredibly simple matter. It demands only that you make the impossible possible. Find the one little detail that turns a complex web into a perfect little story. And so that's what I did. It turned out that the head of a merchant company, the Southwest Whaling Concern, had been facing complications from all involved parties. They had cleverly devised a scheme to pit them against each other. Had they thought to make for less of a complex crime, they would likely be free now, and very rich. But as fate would have it, they will likely vastly outlive us both before their time at the Sky Prison is finished. Link, you see him look away with a sort of melancholy entering his features, just staring out for a long moment before he kind of does a...
I have noticed your tactical approach to the braid, your recent forms. Your body, Blanche, is brimming with potential. But I believe your true weapon will ever be your mind. Do not neglect it. Keep it sharp and shined. And even the impossible will fold before its might.
And we fade away. We return to the palace of Grand Messer Amos Nir. Now I'm going to push time forward just a little bit here. We spent 3 episodes on approximately 1 minute. I think it's only fair to listeners to just go and get a little ahead. Fast forward, if you will. To what's happening after the fight. Now, let me set you guys up. I'm going to give you some information, but I'm going to need a lot of information from you. Because with Harlan unconscious, you've been put in temporary charge of the Silent Verse. Grumby, the dwarf Jean healed after the battle, turns out he was the second in command. Explain the situation and your heroism during it. So as we move forward from this plot, I need to ask you guys where everyone is going to be. Where you've set everybody up. Now, a few details. Wherever you wish to place everyone, Margus will insist that they stay with Xenia. Fyodor is going to push to be allowed to remain in the kitchen again while remaking dinner breakfast.
I ate some of it.
Samira has heard of all that has transpired and now knows the true method behind her son's murder. The Duergar tell you that she is willing to speak with you now and will follow whatever orders you have. She asks only that you find this true killer, this poisoner. Diva Luma is still unconscious and shackled, though will likely come around soon. The Duergar preset on removing her weapon shoes.
Don't need to be around.
After facing them head on, basically, it's kind of become the known thing that Diva Luma, if poisoned, is the most dangerous person here, potentially.
Yeah.
Apart from, perhaps, the two of you. Amos Nir and Larissa Rin have once again set themselves into the master bedroom, unwilling to leave or speak until Sturgeman arrives in the morning. You can get to them, but you're going to need to bash down the door at this point. They are locked in.
I forgot Sturgeman is still coming.
Oh, yes. The body of Azra Nir, I'm guessing, is still in the ballroom. Did you leave it be to investigate?
I don't think we've moved anything yet.
Okay. And lastly, word of Massimo Ain and their family's death has reached you. Among those killed was, of course, their heir, Jacopo Ain. The murder occurred in the early hours of the day, well before you had arrived on this world. And there's evidence that Massimo's guards killed the family, then turned on each other. Beza's breath is almost definitely the cause. With all this in mind, where is everybody?
Do you have any thoughts? I have a couple of thoughts.
Okay, shoot.
I feel like we should keep everybody together. I'm wondering if there is a way that we can use our surroundings somehow to keep the Beza's breath away. Like, I'm looking at this map, and north up of the ballroom, is that like a giant deck?
Or is that like a terrace out front?
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can see a door leading out that way from the salon.
Yeah, I was originally going to suggest, like, corral everybody to the ballroom, but we know that Beza's, that it's in there.
Right. I'm starting to feel like inside is the enemy.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I'm on board with that. Yeah.
We know that there are Duergar outside still guarding the gates, right?
Yes, they're all around the perimeter. Some visible, some not. The place has been put on full lockdown. If you step outside onto the sort of stone patio, this wide open stone patio, sort of looking out over these lush, beautiful gardens, you can see figures of Dwargar kind of moving around, patrolling all around the gates, which are all locked down on either side of the manor. You can see there's a crowd kind of far off, sort of gathering all around. People are watching and wondering. It's become a you know, kind of a spectacle.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is now we're being visible if we're outside.
You're outside of hearing range from anybody you'd see?
Sure, but we know that there are outside collaborators.
There may be.
What do you think? Jeremy, I'm talking to, of course.
Let's go to Amos's room.
Amos Near's room?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know.
Bring everybody to
Bring
Amos
everybody
Near's
to
room.
Amos Near's room.
I'm trying to decide if you're serious or not.
I'm not leaving my room. Okay. Boom.
I'm like 65% serious.
Let me show you it on the map. If you want to take a look at it. Looking at it.
Yeah, that's on the
second floor.
It could be the safest room in the whole place.
It's one of the larger rooms.
Assuming that he's responsible.
Right, right.
Which we haven't ruled out. Oh, man. This is really hard. How about we flip the pick of destiny?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I misspoke. I believe it is the pick of minor destiny.
Yeah. Okay. Only minor.
Not copyright.
All right. You call what it is.
Okay. Heads. So the maker's mark.
I'm going to flip this through the guns of heaven.
All right. If the maker's mark is up, we take the terrace.
Okay.
If there's no maker's mark, we try to squeeze everybody into Amos Near's bedroom for some reason.
There's also like a gymnasium on the first floor. There's other rooms, but like, no, you know what? This is fine. This is fun. We got two options.
I will say,
I like it.
If we go to Amos Near's room, that's on Jules to get us there.
It didn't fall all the way through.
Oh.
It's getting stuck on that last little
bit. It's not built for picks of minor destiny.
Oh, it did it. It made it through.
It's cracked.
No, it's not. No, stop it. Oh.
We're going to Amos Near's
Get
room.
The fuck out. What is this going to look like?
We don't seriously have to.
Oh, man.
Now I feel like we should.
No, this is great. Okay.
I'm curious to know how you're going to sell this to everybody.
I mean, you don't need to sell it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think it's the safest option, the Dwargar are going to listen to you. Harlan's unconscious until he wakes up, which will probably happen soon. But like immediately after this fight, you need to round up everybody. The Dwargar are looking for a way to round up everybody. If you say, let's go to Amos Near's room, it solves a problem, right? Because Amos Near says he's not coming out. Fine.
Oh, you're right. I missed that part.
The door gets bashed in. Amos Near screams and stands back, yelling, screeching. And now everyone is led inside, despite his concerns. Because right now, after what just happened, some of us don't give a fuck anymore if they're fired after all this.
As we're going in, Jules says, this is your house. This is your responsibility.
What? My son is dead. And now you raid my quarters while I'm in mourning.
Ooh.
I feel like a dick.
No. Because we know that it's not his son. And he knows that we know it's not his son.
It is his son, but not his heir.
Oh, shit.
Huh. But I will say, well, give me an insight check.
Okay, yeah. Let's roll dice about it.
I crit my pants.
Okay. Mine was only dirty.
Oh,
dirty
damn.
20.
Look at that, Steven. Look at that, Steven.
Oh, that's double digits. Uh-huh. And the first one's a two.
Yeah.
This is actually very interesting. He says he's in mourning, and yet you get the feeling that he is maybe offended that someone would dare kill his son, but he holds no love, or held no love for Azra, and he is not mourning at all. You think of Azra sort of embarrassing himself repeatedly, being out when Amos Near demanded that, you know, his family greet everyone at once with this little display in the garden. Azra was already outside, you know, talking to Diva Luma, going back and forth. Azra was on the stage making an ass of himself before the performance. Azra is a thorn, was a thorn in the Grandmaster's side, an embarrassment. Larissa was always meant to be the one to step forward. You can see now that there's almost like this peace in his heart over the fact that the succession of Larissa will have nothing. She'll have nothing to contend with. There'll be nothing messy to deal with. Ozra being out of the way is not the worst thing that could have happened.
Well, sorry for busting in on you here. Why don't you tell us about him? Tell us about your time together.
You have taken the Dark Dwarves onto your side. You've taken control of my police. So fine. For now, I will step aside before someone more qualified comes in the morning. But I will not share words with you, Jules LaRoche. You stay the fuck out of my mind.
I almost said something I shouldn't have. Whoops.
Amos moves back and allows everyone to enter. I think Amos like maybe goes into the dressing room and like closes the nest. Come, Larissa. closes the closet door.
Okay, yeah, so that's...
It's the saddest thing.
I'll say that there's really only one door, aside from the door onto the balcony, that's in and out of Amos's room.
And it's separated in two different rooms and two dressing rooms. So it's kind of like, and this is a private bathroom. There's a number of like spaces. If you need to split people up, you can. On that note, where's Diva Luma? She has not come to yet. She's still shackled. She's disarmed. I'm curious, are you bringing her into this room and leaving her shackled? Are you unshackling her when she wakes up?
I'm going to guess there's a chaise lounge.
What?
Chase.
You know, like a couch without arms.
Yeah,
like
fuck
Victorian
it,
sort of swooping.
Yeah, I imagine probably one of the Duergars carrying.
There's three
her.
Of those, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll set Diva Luma down.
Rochelle's going to have to make this map for us probably, and I'm going to be like, I need three chaise lounges.
Yeah, exactly. we've learned that the inflicted of the bees' breath will be in their right minds when they wake up. So I think it's safe enough to take the shackles off.
You have two cases now to prove that, with Grumpy having been revived and immediately coming to his senses.
Remove her shackles. Lay her there somewhere comfortable.
And then maybe Harlan's on another chaise.
Yeah, you got it.
Yep.
Yes, he's on the couch. He's on the second. He's on the second.
But how does that make you feel?
Okay. Slowly everybody gathers into this room, perhaps on the third chaise lounge.
Mm-mm. The third chaise lounge has a purpose.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Take that chaise lounge into the dressing room. We will set up a place to... Interrogate.
That
not
is.
Interrogate. What's it called? Yeah, interrogate. Yeah. Right? Interrogation room. Yeah.
That is some Sherlock Holmes shit. I'm so excited. Oh my God.
I don't know what we're going to ask people, but we're going to ask it.
Did you do this? Did you do this?
Okay. Everyone gathers and starts like, we'll say time has passed. We have an unconscious Diva Luma, an unconscious Harlan all lying there. Everyone moves into the room. Margus. It's with their daughter. They kind of take a corner, maybe like sitting on the grand canopy bed and kind of just sort of cooling down, calming after everything. Ledoux and Jean, finally freed from the cells, are up there. I think Ledoux has taken to very quietly sewing the banner back onto Jean's spear. And the two are very quiet, like they're upset by each other. Like the grand balance of their sort of... connection, their relationship has been altered in some fundamental way, and they're just awkward, kind of awkwardly standing by each other, not really saying a word, occasionally a glance cast, and then kind of a quick head turn away and up.
Fun.
Yeah.
fun people to be around.
They're one of those couples. Fyodor is not going to be allowed to remain in the kitchen?
No, certainly not.
But what of dinner? You destroyed dinner. You have to let me at least make dinner.
I'll fetch something from the pantry. Surely you have something to sustain us all, unless you'd like to end up the next victim.
He has a moment, he stops, and he's thinking for a second. Like he just remembered something.
Yes. Something to sustain, yes.
And he steps very close to you, just kind of towering above you, and leans down.
Perhaps while you are grabbing, say, sausages from the larder, you will take a peek outside the window and see familiar birds on trees. come to see what is happening in the palace. Wink, 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 wink. Big winks.
Yes, perhaps. Perhaps. She kind of gives nothing away and acts like... Blanche acts like she doesn't know what he's talking about. Perhaps.
It's not 7 o'clock yet, but perhaps the activity has drawn the informant.
Yeah.
The outside informant to the gate again.
Okay, so what... So it's really just after four.
Yeah, right now, I'd say it's 4:30.
Okay. What is the likelihood that we squeeze in a short rest?
If we can bump it to 5:30 and have that short rest happen.
Okay.
Score. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I think that does make sense. And also, you know, if this were to really happen, you know, it's time for everybody to decompress. Let everybody's heart rate drop. Okay, this is great. This is what I wanted to do. Arcane recovery once per day when you finish a short rest. You can choose expended spell slots to recover up to a combined level of 3. So I'm going to do that.
That note, Jean Franklin is fully healed, we can say?
Yes. Now the question is, do I... Yeah, I really need to take a...
Chester's probably freaking out in this room with everybody just like, hey, Jules, this is kind of crazy. Oh, hey, I went through puberty, remember? I'm done with that.
I was going to say, I was like...
Who are you?
That's
who are you?
Yeah, what? I'm just kidding. It's me, Chester. I'm just joshing you.
Yeah.
You
puberty,
puberty came and went. Always does.
So fast. They grow up so fast. Okay. Short rest over.
Okay.
We're all in Amos Nier's room.
Everyone is crowded into Amos Nier's room. It is horrible. Imagine there's like guards outside the doors, making sure no one leaves. Maybe a couple of guards inside. One of them constantly, Grumby. Grumby's constantly at Harlan's side. You know, they went through this horrible thing together, and Grumby is shattered. Like, you see this Duergar just like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry. Oh, I didn't. I had no control.
Do Harlan and Diva Luma wake up after a short rest?
They do after a short rest.
Okay, sweet.
So, here's the thing. Right now, you're going to have a ton of directions to go in.
Yeah.
So, before we get into that, I want to give you an idea of everything that's going on.
Thank goodness.
You had a short rest? So you had, like, time to think this through. So this is for everybody, because it's been a little while. Here's what you know. The killer must have been outside of the palace earlier in the day, especially if they're also behind the sudden change in Tikalosh, which you have reason to believe that that was Visa's breath. Thinking back on the experience, the way the giant came into eyes were as it, like, struck at you, it seemed very similar to Diva Luma to Harlan, which means the killer... must have arrived at the palace not long before all of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would have poisoned, maybe something that they remember Tikalosh was eating in the water, something poisoned in the water, perhaps, that it bit into, went mad. Perhaps, you know, the killer was waiting in the jungle after killing Massimo Ain and their family. It's hard to say. Here's the thing, though. The killer must also have had access to the wine bottle. You know that no guests were allowed into the manor before Amos Nier let them come in. Only his family and staff were able to go inside. You also know that Larissa Rin keenly noted the bottle had been moved, which seems to point to the idea that someone had tampered with it after it was stored into the palace, like brought in. It wasn't done outside. At least you have reason to think that it wasn't done outside. The killer must have been able to enter the ballroom before the scheduled performances. You know that a number of people had been in and out between 3 and 4 as you were around for some of that time. Nearly everyone that had been in the ballroom at the fight start had approached the stage at some point, especially Amos Nier, who was fussing over every little thing. You know also that the killer is likely related to Proud Edun, the jungle witch that was killed by the Kings of Coin in the Burnchow Duergo clan some 16 years ago. The witch gave the first jelly flowers to the kings, but demanded their firstborn children as payment. She threatened to take her pay with or without their permission, and so the kings plotted to have her murdered. But this leads to another very interesting detail, something that you brought up very recently, that Azrin Nier was killed by this plot. And the more you think about it, the more it seems like it must have been planned, right? Azrin would have been the closest to the stage, and likely the most grating for the diva. Her rage-addled mind would have certainly locked onto him. But you now know that Azrin Nier is not Amos Nier's heir. Perhaps still fearing the witch's wrath, Amos raised his true heir in secret and hired her on as his head of service, so she'd always be by his side. And you know that he has another secret child, Larissa's twin, who secretly became one of the Concord world's most notable luminaries.
who is incidentally known for using an assortment of ludicrously expensive magical items, so that kinda explains that. And then there's what you do not know. Harlan was aware of the poison as a potential threat. He swore not to eat or drink during the vigil, and you know he stayed true to that oath. Nobody approached him either. You saw it all through Turbo's eyes. You were watching. So how did the killer poison the Duergar? How did they poison the bottle if they were outside earlier in the day? Or if they were part of the staff, how did they sneak out for that long without being noted by the rest of the staff? An impossible problem, Blanche. But perhaps, for you, that's just an opportunity.
Okay. I mean, I have some thoughts. Blanche has some thoughts.
As far as your direction here, Samira is someone you haven't been able to talk to yet. I don't know if you have any questions for her, but she is available now as she's in this room, still very, very quiet, still very much mourning her son. Won't really speak to anybody, but is willing to follow along with you. DePiero has requested that you speak to him when you have time. Perhaps when you have your solitary room set up, he wants to not be overheard, but he wants to tell you what he was going to tell you before. You have reason to believe that that bloodletter spy, the one that was a contact for Fyodor, is back and waiting for contact. Perhaps curious about what's going on, gathering along with the rest of the crowd outside this room. You saw him before, you could spot him now, if you needed to. And you have a couple of rooms to investigate. Most notably, you could look into the ballroom, see if you can figure out what's going on with, if there's any evidence anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty hard one because a lot of people were there. But more interesting is the cells, the Duergar. Can you find out how it was done?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I feel like that might be the key to unlocking the whole thing, is figuring out how the Duergar were poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, my thoughts are, I'm trying to disprove that it was Amos Nir. He just seems like, I don't know. And we still have to ask about Proud Edun, because it seems like he's protecting his true heir by sacrificing this false heir. So like, if he's doing it, maybe he's doing it for show. As you said earlier, there's really no, he's not grieving. The alternate to that is that somebody else is doing the killing and thinks that that's his true heir. I don't know. But maybe we start by leaving everyone here, which, fuck, sucks, going down to investigate. Or do we split up? What do you think?
I mean, I'll say it now. You guys have been really doing this like Sherlock Watson thing with Blanche being the head investigator, inspector in the crime scenes, and Jules being the main sort of interrogator in a lot of spots with that high charisma. Could serve you here as well. I will also add to your plate by saying there's a stirring in the room as you're about to like leave or about to sign this, as Diva Luma and Harlan both awaken on their chef of the deuce.
Yeah, I was gonna suggest maybe you go and maybe Jules will stay back in the room.
Okay. Maybe I can do the turbo trick to peek back in every now and again.
Yeah, because I think in Jules' mind, he wants to keep an eye on everybody.
Right.
As many people as he can.
Is that a full bat in my room? You can't put a bat. If it shits on the floor.
You're in the closet. You can't see it.
I'm peeking through the keyhole. I see a bat.
Jules slams it.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, listen up. I'm going to take a turn about the rooms. I will investigate the crime scene. I will be keeping a watchful eye. She points to Turbo. Jules here will take you each to the drawing room for some questioning. We're going to put this all together with your cooperation. We are assuming there's only one truly responsible person here. So if everybody else can cooperate, then we can put this mess to bed.
Everyone stares on quietly, but you hear in the crowd just a,
oh, Blanche, Blanche.
Harlan picking up, eyes sort of brimming over with tears.
Oh, you were right. You were always right. I almost got him killed. Fish in a barrel, like you said. You should have killed me. You should have killed me dead and good.
This is not your fault, Harlan. I need your help to figure this out. Keep them safe while I go.
All right, Captain.
Boom. That was cool.
Another silent verse, just kind of nod. There's a quick salute.
Okay. Blanche is going to exit the room, I think.
I think, yes, she does. Jules runs up to her.
Firm open hand slap on the behind.
Uh-huh. He leans in and says, "Don't get poisoned."
Same to you. Perhaps, open some of these windows just in case.
Wait, sir. You shouldn't go off alone right now. I mean, don't you want anyone by your side?
John's kind of standing. I think he looks down sort of awkwardly at Ledoux, who's sort of looking away. And it's kind of like,
it's quite stuffy in here anyway. And well, you really should have a protector, of course. I mean, not that you can't handle yourself, sir. You absolutely can. But, you know, it's good to have help, eyes, you know, watching your back.
Yes, John, that's an excellent idea.
Yes.
Jules, do you mind if I take Jean for an extra set of hands?
How does Jean look?
He looks excited to get out of here. I think he's still, he's exhausted. He, even after the short rest, he looks like he's been through hell. And there's just this awkwardness in here with everything else already. And then just with his father in the corner, kind of shooting his glances over. I think this John just wants to be as far away from everybody as he can get.
Sorry, question. I haven't played a paladin yet. Does his HP pool, his lay on hands pool, reset?
I believe it's a long rest.
Son of a...
Yep.
Can't swear on the network.
We'll double check it later.
That's okay. I hope... I don't know. Hopefully we don't need it.
Hopefully.
Right. Okay, yeah. Jean and Blanche are going to head to, I think, the cells first.
I think Jules will give Jean a firm handshake, but like the forearm handshake.
Yes.
The cool handshake.
The predator shakes. Yes, that's what we do.
You stay safe.
Yes. Sir, you too, Jules. Keep an eye on them. Them, especially.
Kind of nods over to, like, I think DePiero has wandered over to Ledoux, kind of like hand on the shoulder, sort of checking in on him, you know, admiring the work that he's doing, sewing the banner.
I got you.
Thank you. I know you do.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yes, don't interrupt me. Kerr. What?
Oh, okay. I thought you were still talking. Let's say that Blanche and Jules have a little aside and talk about strategy, okay. just in case Steven comes up with an idea while you're doing like interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just so we keep it.
I don't know what I'm gonna say for interrogation,
dude. I'm honestly a little glad that we're leaving. That Blanche is leaving, because
I'm not.
Now I don't have to think about questions to ask people.
I have an idea.
Also, is mind reading stuff, that's a first level spell? Or
I am protecting all of my spell slots at this point.
Right. I'm just curious. Like, it's not a cantrip for any stupid reason.
No.
Yeah. No. No.
Using that now is a risk because of this other combat.
I don't have any more uses of it.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I shouldn't have said that.
I love that.
I shouldn't have said that. David's face just lit up. Lit up like a Christmas tree.
I have an idea here. I think this will be fun. As long as it's reasonable with the knowledge that you would have right now, we've had some time here that, like, you know, things have moved, you had a short rest, a gap in time can now be filled with events. I am reinstating flashbacks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, all button right. Cost flashbacks.
Button cost flashbacks? Oh, right. Yeah, we did that. Well, I've only got one, so.
Yeah, well, it may come up that you have a really important thing you wanted to wish you had done.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're smart. You're clever characters.
I have to figure out the ring of spell storage, or do I? Because that's spell slots.
Do it in a flashback.
Maybe, yeah, right.
Flashback to that time where David said the name of the guy that's doing this.
Yeah, I did that once. That happened. Okay, you go to leave Blanche. The last thing you see is you close the doors. Over Jules' shoulder, DePiero looks up to you with these eyes, just like saying, "Do what you must do now, master defense, but later on, we must speak."
Yeah, Blanche gives him the eyes, the I know it sort of look.
Door closes. We have full second episode of the night energy, and it's the first episode of the night, guys. We gotta get this shit together. We got another one of these.
It's gonna be great.
Oh no. And you begin to proceed down the hall, down the stairs, down to the cellar. Oh, where do I want to start? We're near the end of this episode. Where should I go from here?
Where's it going to be juicy?
Jules. Start with you.
No, that's too much pressure.
You gotta go where it's juicy. So stupid.
Right. You know what? You guys think I'm gonna drink some Rockstar.
Are we taking five?
We'll be right back. Blanche and John are gone. Jules, you have your own little interrogation room. So you guys took the second dressing room, right? And you have like the couch set up in there with like the, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you have like your own chair. Chesta's like, yeah, so am I bad cop or good cop or what? Yo, Holland, this guy's fucking crazy. I'm nice, all right? I'm good. But this guy, he'll tear you up. He'll kill you.
Chesta, go psycho.
I'm foaming at the mouth.
I don't know what I expected.
Tell me the truth.
Oh my God.
It definitely wasn't that.
Can Chester provide like...
I'll defend you like a boy.
Can Chester provide like the help action for something? Like a, like a charisma check or something like that?
How dare you have good ideas? Yeah, I like that. That makes sense. Chester's going to be helping you out. If I can think of a way to make him help you, he'll be there to help.
It's Proud Eden.
Proud Eden.
Proud Eden, the jungle witch. Who's the first in the room with you?
Jules is going to go to the closet.
The other one.
So he bursts open the doors.
Ah!
Larissa.
She steps forward, like knife in hand.
Put that away. I'm not going to hurt you. Nobody's going to hurt you.
You're right. I don't need to worry about me. But you should worry about you, Jules. What do you know? If it gets out, who my brother is, who I am.
Let's go.
She looks to Amos.
Play along, Larissa. For now. Let him have his power before Sturge Man strips him of it all.
Larissa nods and follows you out.
All right. I'm going to bring him to the other dressing room.
Go to the dressing room. Door closes on a crowd of people who are watching, waiting. The room goes silent as she doesn't sit. She refuses to sit. She stands in the corner, hands clasped, sort of servant style. Face just blank.
Okay, well, Jules is going to sit on the chaise lounge.
Chester hops up next to you. All right, so, how do we start?
Jules glances up at Larissa. Proud Eden, tell me everything.
I know of the witch. Suppose there's no use holding back now. I had suspected that she was related to this when I realized it was the heirs that were dying off. But I had nothing to worry about. Azra, she fell for it. Whoever's doing this, whoever's carrying on her will, fell for it. I'm safe. But yes, Proud Eden. She had the jelly flower, and she wanted the heirs. I don't know what she wanted with us. To kill us, trap our spirits, turn us into Beza, perhaps, to use for her witchy crafts. I don't know. I don't know. Witchcraft, that's the one.
Witchcraft,
there it is. I found it, guys. It was right there all along.
But she died. My father made sure she died. And just to be safe, he raised me separately. Kept my existence a secret. Brought me up as a servant. But now I can step into the light, can't I? Azra's gone.
Kind of convenient, huh?
Very. Is that all you had to ask?
So what? You're just comfortable not being the heir?
I will be the heir. I was always going to be the heir. Once my father knew that the witch's curse was, well, folly. Now we know it wasn't. And should you succeed in your little investigation, figure out who amongst this crowd is causing this, then I will return to the light. Father will name me as heir, reveal me to the world.
More convenience, huh?
Yes.
Well, tell me, who, what are your thoughts? Who do you think's doing this, then? Who would have any other stake? Because right now, You guys got the target on you.
There's a little bit of sweat at that. Kind of rubs a hand over her bald head. And
ain't nobody else.
I believe the Grand Messer was very clear with his thoughts, and I agree with them. Samira, Mello was there to throw you off. Killed so you would not point the finger her way. But she has the most to gain from this, especially if Amos was to be dethroned or killed. She controls the Silent Verse, and they are more loyal to her than anyone else. If Harlan is in on it with her, and I'm sure he is.
What makes you so sure?
They're close. When the Duergar came to this world, it was Samira that came and approached them, brought them into our fold. While they work for all of us, they are most loyal to her. Something that my father has never liked. He's fought against that. He's threatened to have them removed, for they do not heed to his call. And so, of course, they're going to try to get rid of him. If you ask me, Samira is connected to this situation with Proud Edun. I don't know how exactly it folds in, but I believe she's behind this.
Well, you're going to have to give me more than that. More than I don't know how. Because I can see how written all over you.
Funny. I thought that was your job. May I go?
Jules waves her out.
She slides out of the room. Whew, well, that was fun. She's a gloomy one, huh?
What do you think? I hate this so much.
It's tough. It's tough. All right, Jules. Well, that's one down.
Who else is out in the room?
Who should I get next? Everybody.
Is Samira out there?
Samira is out there.
Chester, go get Samira.
All right. Yeah. Let's go. He steps out. You kind of see him run over and kind of like speaking to her. Hushed voices. She's dabbing at an eye. And you know, you see she's an elven woman, full elven woman. It's been a while since I described her in this sort of sumptuous gown, long black hair, dark skin. And she just kind of like nods along, steps up. Slowly approaches your room. There's like forced poise in her features. She moves in, sits down.
How can I help you? Seriously, how can I help in any way? This, using my son's lover as a murder weapon. This is disgusting.
Jules leans in. Proud. Edun.
She just nods.
I thought I would come around to this. The first heir's deaths, I had some fear, but they were accidents. But I had the thought when I saw Mello. The bloodletter symbols threw me off, but it's her, isn't it? She's back. She lived. I don't know how she lived, but she lived. They tore her apart. They burned the body. How?
She just kind of goes on.
I was there. I saw everything. I was there. She's dead. She...
Can I roll a check on her?
Yeah, roll a check. Do insight.
Insight. Tweener. It's a 12.
12. It's actually quite interesting because with a 12, there's something she's not saying and you don't know if she's actively trying to hide something or if she's hiding from something.
Do you remember that night well?
I'll never forget it. Ever.
Tell me everything. Everything you recall.
We moved out to the witch's hut. All of us were there, even DePiero. He wasn't one amongst us. At this point, I was the most recent. But he was there. We knew even then he would join our ranks eventually. It was inevitable. And so he was wrapped up in this too. We came upon the jungle witch's hut. The Silent Verse spread out, surrounded, moved in. They did most of the work. But we were there. When they burst into the house, the initial combat we didn't see, just the flashing lights, the screaming of some ancient beings, the Biza, perhaps, specters flashing through windows. But the sounds of combat died down. And when it was safe, we approached. I saw them tear the body apart. I saw them burn it. I saw the moment the life left the witch's eyes. We spread out and
looked over the hut and... She just blinks a few times, rolling over that 12. That's all. That's everything. That's all.
What were the kings doing?
They were just waiting. Overseeing. We're not warriors. We just need to be sure. We are all in on this. All of our children were threatened. I will say, like, she acted weird at the end there. Like, there's something she didn't tell you when she went to search the hut. I think Chester's very... He has a high wisdom, so I think he catches this too. He's kind of nudging you, looking up, like, you know, you get the how we doing this sort of face.
The only way that we're going to figure this out, keep you and everybody else safe, is we got to know what's unspoken. Everybody seems like they're afraid to say something. I can see it, but nobody's saying it. That's the piece that we need.
Lady, I didn't know your son, but I've talked to the gods. The Silent Verse, they loved him. He was good. They say he was really, really good and sweet and kind, and he's the kind of person we'd want to know. And if you're hiding anything from us, you're keeping us from honoring him, avenging him. So please, listen to Jules. The big guy knows what's up. Roll with advantage.
Perfect. 28.
She closes her eyes for a long minute, and like her face features kind of turn this incredibly pained expression.
It's my fault. Everything's my fault. All of this. My son died because of me. I entered the hut while they were burning the bodies. I went into the back rooms, and there was a back door. A small thing, and it was opened. I went outside. I moved into the trees, into the shadows of the night.
And her face contorts into one of just pure, shaking rage.
And that's when I saw the child.
And we'll call it there. Having a day off really makes your voice get better. All right, cool. Yeah, it's me. Woo!
Do the Chester voice again.
Woo! Woo! I shouldn't have had that Coca-Cola. Ah, fuck. Oh, no. It's recording. Fuck. After credits. Shit. No.
There's post credits.